We talk income tax and tax planning on our Money Sense this weekend. We begin the program after this break. Welcome back to Money Sense, folks. Today we are talking tax planning, everybody's favorite subject, right? Well, maybe not. But stick with us because this is going to be some very valuable information, especially with year-end coming up. Brent Lauch, your host, and I'm joined today by Brandon Donsberger, who is the accounting and tax manager with PWM Tax and Accounting Services. As well, he is a chartered professional accountant. Brandon, how you doing? How's it going?
Hey, Brent. Doing great. The end of the year is a time where we need to start looking at tax planning and clients' personal tax situations while changes can still be made.
Exactly. So where do you want to start today? What's top of mind or what should be top of mind right now for taxpayers?
I think top of mind for taxpayers should be looking at the personal tax rates and seeing where they want to fit within that for their income for the year. We had one change this year to our tax rates. The federal budget reduced taxes federally from 15% to 14% effective July 1st. Which means this year it's going to be 14.5% for the lowest bracket. For 2025, the tax brackets are as followed. If you're less than the personal amount of $16,129, you'll be taxed at 0%. Income earned between $16,129 to $19,491 will be taxed at 14.5%. From $19,491 to $53,463, you'll be taxed at 25%. $53,463 to $57,375 is taxed at 27%. $57,376 to $114,750 is taxed at 33%. $114,751 to $152,750 is taxed at 38.5%. After that, we go from $152,750 to $177,882 at 40.5%. And then this next bracket is a little interesting. From 177,882 to 253,414, it's taxed at 43.81%, and that just represents due to the changes by the federal government. And income earned over 253,414 is taxed at the highest bracket at 47.5%. Just a few other things that to note is the basic amount is $16,129 federally and $19,491 provincially, and the old age security clawback begins at $93,454. Any dollar earned over that, your OAS will get clawed back at 15%. The TFSA amount for 2025 is $7,000, and your total contribution room since 2009 is $102,000. The contribution room starts accruing when you turn 18. The RSB maximums for 2025 is $32,490 or 18% of your earned income plus any prior year unused room. The prior year unused room can be noted on your 2024 notice of assessment. I think a good place to go from here would be to talk about some upcoming deadlines.
Sounds good. My guest on Money Sense is Brandon Donsberger, accounting and tax manager at PWM Tax and Accounting Services. And yep, we're talking income tax. What deadlines, Brandon, do people need to be thinking about right now?
All right, let's run through them quickly. So February 28th is the deadline for T4s for employee compensation, T4As for pension and other income, and T5s for investment income, including dividends. The RRSP contribution deadline is 60 days from December 31st, with March 1st falling on a Sunday this year. That actually makes the deadline March 2nd to contribute. The deadline for filing T3 returns is 90 days after the deadline for the trust. That falls on March 31st for trusts which have a December 31st year end. This deadline has become more relevant in the past few years due to the new Bayer trust rules. However, in the recently announced budget on November 4th, they delayed those trust reporting requirements for another year. April 30th is the deadline for most individuals to file their tax returns. If you're self-employed or your spouse is self-employed, you have up till June 16th to file, but any penalties or any payments needed would have to be paid by April 30th. Otherwise, there'll be penalties and interest.
So we got a lot of dates to keep track of. Now, you mentioned their RRSP contributions. A common question we often hear from people is, should everyone be maxing out their RRSP?
RRSPs are crucial for tax planning. If you're in a higher tax bracket now, might be the time to maximize your RRSP contributions versus when you withdraw them in a lower bracket. New deposits to RRSP or tax-sheltered investment are most beneficial when you are in a higher tax bracket, as you can justify deferring the income tax as it lowers your income. Retirees, on the other hand, might explore opportunities to withdraw from pensions or RRSPs without increasing their marginal tax rate.
Okay, what about tax-free savings account, TFSAs? Can I deduct these contributions to save taxes?
Great question, Brent. I often get asked that question. No, contributes to TFSA are not tax deductible. All the income generated in the account, however, is sheltered from tax, and you can withdraw all funds tax-free, unlike an RRSP. As mentioned earlier, the annual contribution is $7,000 this year, with the total room since inception at $102,000. The contribution room starts when you turn 18, and if you do not make your contributions for that year, any unused room can be carried forward. Additionally, you can withdraw without losing contribution room. However, if you withdraw from your TFSA, you can't, and you have to be worried when you contribute in the same year, as there could be issues where you over-contribute.
So for our listeners who might ask, what's better? Should they be putting money into a TFSA or their RRSP?
It's a tough question to ask without any background information. Everyone's situation is unique. So whether they are saving for a future purchase or saving for retirement or have other financial goals they want to achieve, I would advise those listeners that are considering these options to seek professional advice that considers their specific circumstances to make an informed decision.
Well, speaking of retirement, let's talk about tax planning for retirees. What do they need to be thinking about, Brandon?
Probably the biggest one to consider is looking at pension splitting. If you or your spouse has eligible pension income, you can split up to 50% of it. This can reduce your overall tax liability between you and your spouse quite significantly. You do not have to use the same percentage each year. You want to use whatever is most tax efficient. You just cannot exceed the 50% threshold for either spouse. As mentioned earlier, the OAS clawback starts at $93,454 this year, so you want to take that into mind when you're looking at pension splitting.
And what qualifies as eligible pension income?
Good question. Eligible income includes annuity payments from a defined benefits pension plan, which not many of those around, but they can be split at any age. Income from a RIF, PRIF, or LIF, if you're 65 or older, can also be split.
And just to clarify, old age security and my CPP don't qualify, right?
That's correct. But while CPP itself can't be split the same way, spouses can share their CPP benefits based on their contributions. You just need to apply to do that with the CRA.
We're on the topic of tax planning on this week's edition of Money Sense. We're back after this break. We're talking taxes on this week's edition of Money Sense. My guest is Brandon Donsberger, accounting and tax manager at PWM Tax and Accounting Services. Brandon is also a chartered professional accountant. And yes, we are talking everybody's favorite topic, income tax. Some of the things you need to know as you prepare to, well, put in your taxes for the end of the tax year. Let's shift gears a bit. What about younger people, families with kids? Any tax saving strategies for them, Brandon?
Absolutely. First off, parents, you should make sure that your child files a tax return if they've earned any income, even if it is a little bit and they don't owe tax. This can create RSP room for them in the future that they may want to use. Additionally, low income earners, if they're over the age of 19, can qualify for GST checks as well.
Do they have to be a certain age to file an income return?
No, as long as they have a social insurance number, they can file. Also, do not forget to claim any spousal or equivalent to spouse credits if your spouse's income is below the certain thresholds. If the income of your spouse or common law partner for 2025 is under $16,129, you are entitled to a federal spousal credit. In Saskatchewan, you'll receive this credit if income is below $19,491. And even if you are not married, you may be entitled to an equivalent credit if you have dependents that have lived with you.
Good to know that whatever one spouse is unable to use due to modest level of income, at the very least, it can be transferred to the other spouse who is earning more income for the family.
It's also important to emphasize that these credits are not refundable and do not carry forward. So you want to make sure that you use them when they're available, unless they need to be used in this year. They disappear, so if one can transfer them, you might as well use it while you can.
Absolutely. That's some good stuff to know, Brandon. I can see how there's a lot to think about when people are near retirement and must start thinking about withdrawing from their pensions and their retirement savings.
There definitely is, Brent. It is important to be tax efficient if possible at that stage of life, as we want to make sure that your investments or any income can last as long as you're around. That's why it's so important to seek the guidance of a qualified investment advisor to collaborate on a strategy which will ensure an optimized tax strategy throughout all retirement and proper planning for any remaining assets that will be passed on to the next generation.
Good information there, Brandon. Now, we're through splitting and transferring taxable income and credits for those people in retirement. Are there any other opportunities our listeners need to be thinking of for young families, say?
Yes. Please don't forget to claim your eligible child care expenses. You'll be entitled to claim child care expenses for any child who was 16 or under in 2025. For children under the age of 7, you can deduct up to $8,000 per year per child. And ages 7 to 16, it reduces down to $5,000 per child. For a child with disability, the deduction is $11,000 per year up to the age of 16 and $5,000 per year afterward. Some examples of eligible child care expenses include daycare centers and nursery schools, any individuals providing child care services that are Canadian, day camps and day sports schools, educational interest institutions such as private schools, only a portion of that, the ones related to child care services, not the education part, boarding schools and overnight sports schools and camps.
Tell me, did the recent federal budget come with any major changes to our personal taxes?
Yes, Brent. Actually, the budget proposed to introduce a new non-refundable top-up tax credit. This credit is basically to maintain that 15% lowest federal rate we had for the past years, just to make sure that even though with the rate dropping down to 14.5% federally this year and 14% next year, that nobody is put at a disadvantage due to the credits. Proceeding with the proposed increase in the lifetime capital gains exemption, the LCG, to apply up to $1.25 million of eligible capital gains announced in the 2024 budget. This is just them agreeing to do it. It's related mostly to qualified small business shares and qualifying farm property. One thing to note for clients is that there can still be an alternative minimum tax applied to you even when you are eligible to use the lifetime capital gains exemption.
Okay, good to know. What about first-time home buyers? Any changes in the budgets regarding these people?
Yes, there was, Brent. They eliminated GST as part of their policies for the first-time home buyers on homes up to $1 million, and they reduced the GST if the home is between $1 million and $1.5 million. Another thing I just wanted to make sure people know are aware of is the first home savings account, where you contribute $8,000 a year for a total of $40,000. The contributions can be deducted from your income just like an RSP, and the funds can be withdrawn like a TFSA, the best of both worlds. Also, for 2025 and subsequent taxation years, the budget proposes to grant the CRA the authority to file a tax return for a taxation year on behalf of certain individuals to make sure that people who can't afford to pay for someone to file their returns can still get eligible income that they're entitled to, such as the GST credit, the Canada Child Benefit, or the Canada Workers Benefit. They also introduced some changes to their mining and exploration credits. This is mainly to do with investors that have flow-through shares. They've extended the qualifying resources. The credit is equal to 30% of specified mineral exploration expenses incurred in Canada and is renounced to investors through flow-through shares. This measure applies to expenditures renounced under eligible flow-through share agreements entered into after the budget of November 4th, 2025, and on or before March 31st, 2027. If you're a small business owner involved in the manufacturing and processing business, the budget provides temporary immediate expensing for the cost of eligible manufacturing or processing buildings, including the cost of eligible additions or alterations made to such buildings. This measure is available in the first taxation year that eligible property is used for manufacturing or processing, provided the minimum 90% floor space requirement is met. This change is effective for eligible property acquired on or after November 4th, 2025, and is used for manufacturing and processing before 2030.
Thanks, Brandon. You've shared a lot of information on our program today for retirees, for families with students and young children. What do you have for strategies that could apply to the vast majority of our listeners? The time is slipping away, so we may not have time to get into a great deal of detail for each of these concepts. What do you have?
I did want to quickly breeze over a few strategies that our listeners can implement for being as efficient as possible with their family tax bill. It's always nice when we can do some things that save us tax right away. However, some of the things take a lot of planning, and they need to be planned well in advance. With this, some of the concepts including contribute to an RESP. If you have young children, you can contribute to an RESP savings plan for a child, which can save tax since any income earned in that RESP is eventually taxed in the child's hands, not yours. And with the Canada Education Savings Grant being offered by the government on contributions to RESPs, this should be a no-brainer. You're guaranteed a 20% return on your annual contribution up to $2,500, as the government will give you $500 up to a total of $7,200 in grants per beneficiary. The lifetime limit for the account is $50,000, and you can contribute more if you didn't contribute in 1 year to make up for unused room. Second thing is to invest your non-registered portfolio in a tax-efficient manner. Interest income is fully taxable, while capital gains are only 50% taxable. The tax rate on eligible dividends vary by tax bracket, but will generally work out to be between interest income and capital gains. To make your portfolio as tax efficient as possible, you should hold all interest-bearing investments, such as fixed income, inside your RRSP or TFSA, and equity investments in your non-registered account. An option that most people don't think about is to review loans that you may have. Do you have non-registered savings as well as outstanding debt? If you do, it may make sense to pay off the loan with investments and then borrow the money to reinvest. This will allow you to deduct the interest for tax purposes, potentially saving you a significant tax bill. But also be sure to consider that any gains, should you sell them this year, will be triggered by disposing of your investments. Also simple but often missed is to use cheaper debt to pay down more expensive debt. Well, lastly, selling stocks in a loss position. If you have capital gains this year due to maybe you're reviewing your loans and you decide to sell, or any other capital gains you've incurred during the year, it might be an opportunity to harvest some losses by selling some stocks and also to rebalance your portfolio. This will offset the gains in the current year, or it can be carried back for past few years or into the future for 7 years. Just make sure you don't buy the same stock within 31 days or the CRA may deny the loss.
Brandon, you've given us a lot to think about today. We're just about out of time on our program. Any final thoughts?
Yeah, income taxes are always going to be a part of your financial lives. Managing the small changes that occur every year may assist you to get every possible deduction or tax credit. By getting those new credits and deductions, you are giving yourself the opportunity to keep the most money in your family's pocket to accomplish your financial goals. Whether you need assistance with income taxes, financial planning, or insurance, feel free to call our office at 306-975-9500. You can also visit our website at pwmprivatewealth.com.
And that's going to put a wrap on our Money Sense program this week. Our guest has been Brandon Donsberger. Brandon is the accounting and tax manager at PWM Tax and Accounting Services. He's also a chartered professional accountant. And as we've been talking about income tax time, you don't have someone to look at your situation. As Brandon said, give them a call anytime at 306-975-9500. Check them out online, their website, pwmprivatewealth.com. Nice to meet you, Brandon. All the best. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Brent. Nice to meet you as well.
This is Money Sense. Money Sense was prepared by Kevin Hagedis of PWM Financial Services, Inc. All products and services mentioned on this broadcast are for information and communication purposes only. The opinions expressed during this show are those of the individual and do not necessarily reflect those of PWM Financial Services, Inc. or its relationship with Financial Horizons. This show is intended for general information only. Please obtain independent professional advice in the context of your particular circumstances. You've been listening to Money Sense.